On RN, I'm Cassie McCullough, and this is The List, your weekly booster shot of all things popular culture. Now, if you've been out and about lately and seen masses of adults dressed as cartoon characters, don't panic. You might just be near a pop culture convention. Even as some of Australia's musical and cultural festivals have been having a hard time keeping attendances up, pop culture expos regularly pull in tens of thousands of fans. Producer Tiger Webb went along to a comic book convention and found out.
So first of all, hi, I'm Tiger.
Natalie.
Natalie, if I just ask you to like describe what it is you're wearing.
I am female Thor, daughter of Odin.
I am Sailor Mercury.
Yeah.
From the Sailor Moon series.
So you didn't go for Sailor Moon?
Because Sailor Moon's a bit of a dance.
How many guns do you have on you right now?
I currently have two guns, I have two swords and two hidden blades. I'm just so excited right now, like, I'd show you my crossbow, but it's not with me, they took it off me, but...
Have an excellent day.
Thanks.
What you just heard there was the sounds of Oz Comic Con, a pop culture convention held in Sydney a bit earlier in the year. From science fiction books to TV shows to Japanese cartoons, if there's a fan base, these conventions will celebrate it through a mixture of trade stalls, superstar panels, and even meet and greets with celebrities. And pop culture conventions are a huge hit here in Australia. In fact, there's so many that they need their own calendar.
My name's Carl Evans and I'm from CanGeek, which is an event guide that covers every kind of geeky type event from Australia and New Zealand.
So what actually goes on at these conventions?
Conventions are essentially a gathering spot for nerds where all these people can meet and say, hey, I like the same thing that you like, let's hang out, we'll drink afterwards, we'll go to a room party, we'll buy things that we like, we'll talk to some famous actors that we all like, and we'll all hang out and have a good time. Across Australia and New Zealand, we have just over 100 events, and that ranges from really big conventions where thousands of people attend to the smaller events where you might only get a couple hundred people attending.
But why does Australia in particular have so many events?
I think it's because we look across the shore and we see America as this kind of big pop culture icon, because that's where all the movies get made, it's where all the comics get made. And we look at that and we see conventions with 50,000, 60,000 people attending, and we kind of want that. We have a hunger for those kind of events, so when they happen, we'll go to them.
One thing that definitely is a marker of geek culture is the fantastic dressing up that attendees do at a lot of these festivals, and we heard from a few of them earlier. It's called cosplay. Kyle explains.
Cosplay is portmanteau for costume play. So essentially, it's just an opportunity for people to dress up. And that means they might dress up as, you know, they might dress up as Batman, or they might dress up as, you know, a film character or a comic book character, or any kind of, you know, fictional character that they really like. And it's an opportunity for them to get into craftsmanship and or craftspersonship, I should say, and really kind of get creative and also be expressive. And at some of the bigger conventions, you can get like up to half the attendees all dressing up, and adds a lot of colour to these festivals.
So while these conventions and these fabulous dress-ups might seem like a relatively new development, there's actually a lot of history in this idea of fans dressing up and celebrating the things they love. Since 1939, Worldcon, a science fiction convention, has been held pretty much every year. One of the guys who started Worldcon was Forrest, or Forry, Ackerman. Forry Ackerman was kind of a super fan. He actually invented the term sci-fi. And at that very first Worldcon event in New York in 1939, he began what would become a tradition for all subsequent Worldcons by dressing up like a spaceman.
I have a photo of it somewhere. In 1939, the very first Worldcon, he showed up in a very, very futuristic costume, guaranteed to get him beaten up in any Chicago bar he might have walked into. That's where I grew up. And the next year, 1940, a lot of people showed up in costume, and that began the annual science fiction masquerade at the Worldcon. Forry Ackerman, he spelled his name with a 4 and an E for Forry. He was a fan from California who lived for fandom. He never really cared to be a professional, although he later became an editor and an agent.
That's Mike Resnick, science fiction fan and author of A History of Worldcons. For Mike, who's been around for 50 years, These modern-day pop culture conventions, like Oz Comic Con, have their roots in the unabashed celebration of fandom that those early science fiction conventions had.
Well, it's just an outgrowth of the same thing, absolutely. And with 7,000-8,000 people, of course, 6,000-8,000 were devout and devoted readers. But that also meant that, 60,000 or so were not. On the one hand, it's not the fandom I grew up with, but then I'm not a fan anymore. I'm a professional. The more people come, the more people might buy my books.
These conventions are a huge business now. And that's where this guy comes in.
My name is Guy Blomberg, also known as Yug. I'm the content and community manager for Read Pop. We look after large pop culture events all around the world, including Oz Comic Con and PAX Australia.
Read Pop are one of the biggest players in the pop culture business.
I mean, Australia is always perceived as, you know, a very influential country on the international stage. But, you know, from a pop culture and especially a video game standpoint, yeah, we consume video games and this culture at a massive level.
Australia is also one of the more lucrative markets because of what's known as the Australia tax, where goods like video games and music, even when distributed digitally, often cost Australian consumers way more than their American counterparts.
I mean, compare it to the States. Over in the States, you would pay $50 for a video game at its top end, brand new video game that just came out. Whereas here in Australia, it's about $100, twice as much. And yet, the video games that are actually bought and the amount of people that play video games is significant, especially compared to our population.
Video games cost more here, and TV shows are released later. So it comes as no surprise that we're also world leaders in content piracy. This explosion of interest in pop culture conventions is actually pretty canny from a business perspective. You can't, after all, download a festival.
Yeah, I guess that's an interesting way to look at it. I guess you've got these people that are fans of that particular, you know, content, and this gives them a chance to actually get together and talk about it or chat about it and everything like that. Is it another way for the companies that actually own these particular products, HBO and whatnot, to actually make more money, I guess is what you're asking? Kind of, but it's more about them actually reestablishing that connection with their existing fans. The more you get people actually talking about something, the more people are going to want to consume it.
But I think the last word on this has to go to one of the people I met at Oz Comic Con, a father of four dressed as Batman who flew his children into Sydney from regional centres to celebrate his son, who was dressed as Duffman from The Simpsons, birthday.
I'm mid-40s and I'm dressed as Batman. My children are here, so that's my excuse. You know, I mean, we all love our movies, so why not be part of it?
Thank you guys so much. Appreciate it. Happy birthday again. Brooke, lovely to meet you.
Producer Tiger Webb there, finding out far too much about pop culture conventions in Australia and around the world.